Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength with a number 4, thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 70, if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight, I want to discuss a few things with you regarding the times we're living in right now. I've been getting some serious words over the last couple of years. And I got one this morning, and the Lord is really questioning whether we're all ready. And I believe that we're getting ready for something. A new era is about to begin. Times are about to change, and this is what the Lord's been speaking to me quite a bit over the last year especially. But something very interesting happened today. I just woke up this morning early, as many times I do. I don't think I ever sleep through the night now. But I just pulled out a pad and I began to write, and the words that I got this morning was, "Are you ready? Are you really ready?" The foolish virgins were deceived. They thought they were ready, but in reality, they weren't. They thought they had a relationship with someone, but in reality, they didn't have it. When the cry went out for the wedding, it was later than they had thought. Somewhere along the way, they had misused valuable time. The sand in their hourglass had been used for something other than what it had been intended for. Most people today living have no idea how much sand is in their hourglass. If you were to find out you had very little sand left, what would you do with the time that remained? Would you use it for your pleasure or mine? What if you checked your lamp and found very little oil in it? Would it concern you? What if you discovered that Jesus you thought you knew wasn't the same one who spoke the red letters of the Bible as it gathers dust on your bookshelf? The hour is late, and many aren't ready. Many have slept precious time away. Many think they're something that they aren't and have a relationship with someone they don't have. It's time for a dose of reality. It's time to find out who you are and who I am. The time is late, much later than you think. And today is April 30th, 2015. And I was just going through some notes. I was cleaning up my office and I ran across some notes that I had for a different radio program, and interesting enough, it was April 30 of 2014. And I thought, wow, I think that's the day today. So I just began to read it, and I thought it was very interesting, the similarity that it had of the message that was 1 year later. This was the message on April 30, 2014. So many aren't prepared for what is to come. They live in a state of denial, not only about themselves, but the world they live in. They live in a world that doesn't exist because they think they are someone who doesn't exist. They believe they have a relationship that doesn't exist. Their dream is about to end. The real world is about to arrive. Every man is about to find out who they really are. Now is the time to awaken from your slumber and find out who you really are. It's time to discover the world you really live in. Denial is deadly, not only in this lifetime, but the life to come. The only way to awaken from this dream is to repent. The only way to find out who you really are is to humble yourself and admit you are wrong. Pride will blind the eyes of what you see on the inside as well as what you see on the outside. Now is the time to change into who I created you to be. Prepare, prepare, for so little time is left to prepare. The bridegroom is coming. So little oil, so little oil. Fill your lamps, repent, humble yourself, obey my voice, turn from your wicked ways. Now is the time to find out who you really are. The harvest is about to begin. Separate yourself from the chaff, or you will be the chaff I separate. My grain I will gather into my barn, but the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear my voice, and they that hear shall live. Will you be among those who hear? The world will change with or without you. I desire to change the world with you, but I will find another if you will not answer your call. I can change the world with few or with many. Don't miss your opportunity, for it will come and it will go. The plane will depart with or without you. Once the door is shut, it is shut, and no man can open it. And this is the word I received 1 year ago exactly to today. And I thought it was so strange how much similarity there was in the messages, that it was a word to examine who we are. Sometimes many times we look at ourselves through a very graceful set of glasses, and we don't really realize maybe in reality who we really are as what the Lord sees. And some of us have just covered ourselves with deception because we believe that just merely saying a prayer of repentance many years ago covered us all the way till today. And the truth is that we have to die daily, that this is a daily walk, that we have to examine ourselves daily, because the world is filthy and it just absolutely consumes us with the filth it tries to attach to us. And I didn't realize really what was attached to me until I left the United States. And it was like you were just trying to enjoy life. Let's say you went to go to a bowling alley and you got home and you just enjoyed the night and you came home and you smelled your clothes and you went, wow, my clothes smell like smoke. I smell like I've been in a bar, but I was just in a bowling alley. Where did all that smoke come from? I didn't even smell it. And it just had a way of attaching itself to you through the night and didn't even realize it was there. And that's almost the way I felt when I came out of the United States, that so much that is called normal isn't really normal, but it's normal because it's just the environment that we lived in with the perversions and the selfish living, the selfish lifestyle, that everybody just goes their own way and does what they want to do. But is that really the way the Lord told us to live our life? And I didn't really see it until I got away from it. It's like the forest blinded me from the trees. I couldn't see until I got out. And now I see things from a different perspective. I see who I really was when I lived in the States. That, you know, I just lived the typical American lifestyle, went to work, provided for my family, went to church. But as far as really what the gospel says about being discipled, I nowhere qualified to be a disciple of Jesus. I had not forsaken all. I did not pick up my cross and walk with it daily. And I truly, when you look at it, I have to say that I love my life more than I loved others, because I didn't consider another man's need as equal as my own until I came to a land where most people had much less than what I had, and they were happy, which kind of surprised me, because usually what you have is what many people's lives are based on, and their happiness is based on as well. And that's why many times people, when they lose what they have, they lose their happiness as well. They lose what made them happy. And we have to find our happiness in our relationship with the Lord, no matter whether we have much or we have little. Paul talked about how he was content with whatever he had, whether he was abounding or whether he had nothing or whether he lacked. And this is something that we really have never experienced, is a state of lack where we lived in the United States. It was a state of abundance. It was everybody enjoying life. And I got a different perspective when I left. I had traveled many years with a ministry in a photography, as a photographer, and I had traveled many places. And it's interesting because when I left the States, I kind of felt like I entered the real world. And when I went back, I entered this make-believe world. But it had been many years. It had been probably 20 years since I'd been out of the country on a trip like that, up until this time that we had just came to Panama in 2012. But a lot of things, my eyes have been open in many ways about myself mainly. And what I've learned so much being away from the States was watching other people, watching their hunger for the Lord that I had not really experienced. I was at a men's conference here about a year and a half ago, and I was looking at the floor where these men were up worshiping at the service, and the whole floor was just littered with tears and just drops of water on the floor. And I thought, these are all men. I thought, you would never see this where I came from, seeing men humbled and broken before the Lord. And these are some things that are very, very eye-opening. And you begin to question about myself. I began to say, you know, where's my hunger? Where's my brokenness like these men here? And I had a different example to look at, not just someone who raises his hands up in church and he's a real spiritual guy, but people who have a sense of humility and brokenness. And this is what I needed in my own life. And coming here was an experience that was a breaking. It was a stripping. You know, when you're transplanted, I mentioned this before in another program, but there was a friend of mine that was a gardener, he was a landscaper, and he had transplanted a giant magnolia tree from his front yard to his backyard, and I couldn't understand how he could do it. And I asked him, what did he do? How did he do this thing? And he said, well, I just dug a root ball, I laid it over on its side, and I stripped all the leaves off of it, and then I dug a hole in the backyard and stuck it in the ground and watered it, and there it is. And I said, well, wait a minute, you stripped the leaves off it. What do you mean? He said, didn't that kill the tree? And he said, no, that's what saved the tree. And when he said that, something just sparked inside of me that there was a truth that he was saying that I had never comprehended before, or never seen before, that the stripping is a part of our salvation. It's something that we have a heart that is so attached to our stuff, and we don't realize how attached it is until we have to give it up. And once we are called to give it up, we have a choice to make. And this is where the rubber meets the road for many people. I know there's many people right now that would like to go, maybe move to a different country, but the stuff is what is gripping their heart. And the Lord gave me a word here a while back that the world has a grip on many. But then he said, but you must let go of it for it to let go of you. That the grip that it has on us is the grip that we have on it. That we're the one in the driver's seat of the grip that it has on us. By us letting it go, it'll let go of us. But this is where the tough part is that, you know, when the Lord said, follow me, these men, these fishermen, tax collectors, businessmen, they left everything. They just walked away from everything. And, you know, the way that we would look today is that, well, how irresponsible can you be that you just forsake everything, all your business? But the interesting thing was is that when I felt in my heart that I was to just leave everything and start over, it was one of the most liberating experiences I ever had. I remember even looking at my day timers with all my business contacts, and I easily could have put them in my suitcase, but I threw them in the trash. And I felt like I was just, the Lord told me just to throw them away. That he said, erase your chalkboard, erase your agenda board, and don't you write on it until I write on it. Don't you do it. Don't you write on that board, because I have a plan for you, and don't get in the way. And then when I got here, he spoke very clearly to me. He said, you're not here for your own agenda. You're not here. You're here for my agenda now. And he said, just as you couldn't deliver yourself, just as didn't create yourself, you're here for my purpose and not your own. And so these are very sobering words when you get a very stern word that the Lord's trying to set the ground rules. He's laying it out there for us right now, and he wants to tell each one of us that there has to be a place of submission in our life for him to be an authority. You know, there's scripture that says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, submission is the first part of gaining authority and gaining authority over the enemy. That without submission, that we'll never have authority. The centurion soldier understood this when he said, I'm a man also under authority. I tell this man to go here, and he goes there, or do this, and he does that. And Jesus said, well, I've never seen such faith, no, not in all of Israel. Because he recognized this man, the centurion soldier, that understood authority. He knew where it came from. It came from above, that you have to submit to authority to get authority. And we can't just blindly think that we have it just by claiming it. It's going to come because we're submitted. And submission means obedience. And obedience is where the rubber meets the road for all of us. We can say that we have faith, but if we don't obey, then really we're not submitted. You know, faith really means trust that leads to obedience. That when we claim to believe, the truth is, if we don't obey, if the rubber doesn't meet the road by our actions, then we don't really believe. We're just speaking a bunch of vain words. And the Lord right now is looking for obedience in each one of us. When I began to look down at a few other entries that I had put, these entries, if you want to go see these, are under a link there on Strength for the Journey. It's called Today's Rhema. And you can scroll down and see a number of entries. I have a little logbook or a little journal that I write in. And there's a lot of entries I haven't even put in there, but these are some of the words that I've written and posted on the website. But this is that one that I just read was April 30th, and I scrolled down to February 14th, 2014. And it's interesting what the word was here. It says, there is coming a great persecution against the church. We can either choose to be a prisoner of God or a prisoner of man. Now is the time to choose whose prisoner we will be. If you choose not to be the prisoner of God, you will become the prisoner of man. There is revival for the hungry, but judgment for the sleeping. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore, for that you know not when the master of the house comes, at evening or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. That's Mark 13:35-37. Is it not enough to just, it's not enough just to keep yourself pure. Obedience must be combined with purity. There were 10 virgins awaiting the bridegroom, but only the wise virgins who were ready and went in with him to the marriage. The foolish ones, although virgins, were not allowed to enter, as their lamps had run out of oil. Obedience will be your extra oil. John 2:5, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And that is the key right there for all of us right now, is that we have to get our marching orders. We have to hear what the Lord wants us to do, and then we just have to obey. And it's not, this is the hardest part is the obedience part, because it's not always easy. In fact, it's very difficult many times, because there's things that we have to give up in our life. And many of the things that we have are what's actually making us comfortable. But this is, God has great things if you're willing to let go of what you have. I always looked at it like there was like two hands that were filled. And the Lord had showed me this a number of years ago, that I have to empty what's in my hands to receive what he has for me. And there was an experience that I had back in 1986, just after I got saved. And I saw myself in a long line of people. And each person that was in front of me was asked the question, are you ready? I didn't understand what I was seeing, but the whole time I was hearing the words, get out of debt. And I just, there's like a broken record going off in my head, get out of debt, get out of debt. And all I knew to do was to sell my stuff. And I had cars, old muscle cars that I had restored, and things that meant everything to me. And literally, they were almost like my gods. I mean, I'd put hours, hundreds of hours into these cars, rebuilding and restoring them. And when I gave my heart to the Lord, these cars that meant everything to me didn't really mean anything to me anymore. And so I began to sell these cars, and I paid off my debts. And just about the time that I had finished off paying off all my debts, I got a phone call one night, and I had begun to travel with Charles and Frances Hunter. They were had gone to a couple of meetings with them, and I just took my camera. And I got a call from Frances Hunter one night, and she said, we're about to go overseas and begin to minister in South America, but the lady that normally travels with us doing our photography work can't leave work a week or two at a time. And she said, I don't know what situation you're in right now, but if you could do our photography work and leave your work for a week or two at a time, that will cover your expenses to do our photography work. And it's very interesting that I had a paint and body shop, and I pretty much did most all the work by myself, so I could just pull the doors down while I was gone. And I didn't have the debt load that was over my head that would make me go to work every day. So I had prepared myself, not understanding what was coming on the other end, but I had given up what meant everything to me, and I essentially erased my chalkboard, and the Lord began to write on it for me. And I believe that this is a word for many people right now, is that there are things, there's opportunities that lie ahead, but you have to be willing to give up what's precious to you for what's precious to Him. Because what He has for us is precious to Him, and the only way it'll become precious to us if we'll get rid of what's precious to us now. And this is the exchange, I believe, that the Lord's trying to do in all of our lives right now, is that He wants to exchange now the new thing that He has for us, and we have to be willing to give up the old. And we'll realize that once we do this exchange, we'll kind of wonder why this stuff meant so much to us in the past. You know, there are great opportunities that are lying ahead for the obedient people that are willing to do whatever God says. Just as a note here, I'm just about ready to start a 24/7 radio station that'll be on the internet. It'll be called Strength for the Journey Radio. And all the things are just happening right now to make this happen, and it'll probably happen sometime in the month of May. So I'm just excited because the opportunities are just growing and abounding right now. And honestly, I had no idea what laid in store for me when we left everything and came to Panama. But it was just a step of obedience, not understanding what was ahead. And I'm afraid that, you know, the way the Lord works is He said, like to Abraham, leave and I'll show you. And many of us are in such a state that we kind of say back in our heart, we say, well, show me and I'll leave. I want to see what the exchange is going to be, to see whether it's worth me letting go what I've got. But I found that it doesn't always work that way. He doesn't give us a job, so to speak, before we give up our old job. That it's just a matter of that we're hearing from the Lord, and we know that we're supposed to do something. We can't really explain it, but we just have a sense of peace doing what we're supposed to do, and we don't understand what's on the other end of the exchange, but we're just doing it out of obedience, and we're just following Him. And that's the way it is to follow Him, is that we don't always know where He's leading us, but really what the rubber that meets the road is whether we trust Him enough to let go. There is great things that are in store for many people. There's ministries that are wide open, waiting. And the big step is just, are you willing to let go of what you've got? You know, there's so many words the Lord gave me just to keep me on track. You know, He would say to me one time, He said that you either leave your comfort zone or your comfort zone is going to leave you. And when you get words like these, you realize that it's going to go away anyway. Why not let it go and be rewarded for letting it go rather than having it stripped out of my fingers? But there's a reward because it's a step of obedience, a step of trust. You're showing you trust the Lord more than you do yourself. You know, it was when Abraham had his hand raised above his son, getting ready to go down to fulfill the word that the Lord gave him to take his son, his only begotten son, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And once he had his hand up there above him and he was getting ready to go through with the sacrifice, the Lord said, stop. He said, now I know that you fear God and have not withheld your only begotten son. There's a test that all of us are going through right now, because the Lord is trying to get to the point in our lives, and to where he can say over each one of us, now I know. Now I know that you trust me. And each that is not going to happen until we go through the test, until we pass the test. Then that's the point that we move to the next level. But we're all going to be tested, because this is a time of trials, and it's a time of tribulation, that there are things that are going to be happening in the near future that are going to test the very hearts and the very souls of men. And God is looking for faithful people that he can trust, that he can use, because he wants the glory for what he's going to do. He's not going to share his glory with anybody, because the glory is his. It belongs to him. And we're only going to destroy ourselves if we try to take credit. We try to get the glory for what God's doing. But there's great things, and there's a great move of God that's going to begin. There's persecution that's coming to the church too. And you know, this one word that I got back in February 14th, over a year ago, that there's coming a great persecution against the church. This was before a lot of this stuff was happening. This is before ISIS. And now you can see all these things happening right now. They're right there upon us. There's great turmoil in the world right now. But the Lord wants to give us peace. He wants to give us peace in the midst of a storm. But we have to trust him. And this is the test that's coming for everybody, is that God's going to test us all to find out who we really trust. Do we trust in our stuff? Many people right now have what I would call their Y2K stored out. And I was there. I spent 13 years preparing for Y2K, so to speak, for the worst. And the Lord kept telling me, you can't prepare for what's coming. And I just kind of didn't really want to receive that word, so I just got more stuff so I could think I was missing maybe something. But I believe when the Lord brings judgment upon the earth, it comes in such a way that has never happened before. So you can't prepare for God's judgment other than repent. That you have to abide under the shadow of the Almighty is the only place of safety right now, because the stuff, the preparation, isn't going to save us. It may help us, but it may be somebody else's storage, because many people that don't have what you have may want it. And only the Lord's protection is going to save us. Only our obedience is going to save us in that time of testing. And I tell you, it's really amazing that after I left and came to Panama, that I had more peace not having weapons and all my food storage than when I lived in the States with everything prepared, because I knew I was doing what God told me to do, and I was obedient. I knew I was where I was supposed to be. So I pray that you will be where God wants you to be as well. Thank you for joining us in Strength for the Journey, and we'll see you next time.